For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Chinidal Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Malola le to my Tongan listeners and welcome everyone to Nijin Footy Fridays, the home of Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union world. My name is Sam Wykes, and right beside me is my Cook Island Coley, who's going to keep us in the know for all the NRL finals that is just about to happen. Tinadao Arona.
Kia ora. Happy Friday, everyone, and welcome to Nijin Footy Fridays. Today, yes, Sammy, we'll be covering the NRL finals. It is here, four massive games over the weekend. We also have Sala Tongatuki joining us to cover the last round of the NRLW, and the top six is starting to shape up there in that competition. So joining us soon will be Sala Tongatuki, and covering rugby union is our good friend, reporting live from Fiji, Nemani Kudijani, who will be covering all the Pacific Nations Cup.
Yes,
rugby, yeah, Women's Rugby World Cup.
Hopefully he's all right too, because he actually got into homecoming. Remember we were talking about last week, the concert that was in Fiji, and he goes, oh man, I haven't got any tickets, boy, it's going to be tough. Probably about 3 hours later after we spoke, see on his Instagram feed.
He was there. He found his VIP pass.
So we'll check in to see how the music was as well, and of course all the rugby union news.
Before we get to the footy though, I just want to quickly mention, now I know you have a special kind of love for this kid. He is a Fijian NRL rugby league player for the Bulldogs, and his name is Jeffro Rinakama. He is actually starting this weekend, but the cool thing about Jeffro is that not only has he made his debut this year in the NRL, he also was named the Bulldogs Rookie of the Year. Sammy, how proud are you as a close friend of Jeffro's?
Man, I was so excited to see him win those awards, because he won New South Wales Cup Player of the Year as well. So just to see where he is, you know, at 19 years of age, and wasn't the next big thing coming through the system. He was just working hard, and to see where he is now, and he's playing in at 19 years of age.
19 years old?
19 years old, and he's playing in a semi-final, round one of the final series down in Melbourne.
Against the Storm.
Like, you can't get, unless you go to the grand final, but for a 19-year-old kid, like, that's, you're not thinking about that if you haven't made your debut yet and someone's gone, hey, look, you go through the system, you know, you might get your chance, just keep working hard. But that's got to be up there as a 19-year-old, and it's impressive. Just his hard work is paying off. And just a little tip out there that we spoke about, he wanted to know. He was talking about how do you get to the top level? And he was just, that's what he was asking. I was like, oh man, that's a good question, you know, like it's, but it was a very simple answer around controlling your preparation and your performance. You control those two things, because it's like a different world around you, and you can get into that merry-go-round and get caught up in all the rubbish until you know that. Like, you can get caught up in people blowing smoke up your bum, thinking you're killing it, or get disappointed by other people's opinion. But this kid just kept controlling his preparation, working hard, doing it quietly. And he's been rewarded for all his hard work.
Great work, Jethro. And we'll cover a few other awards across the NRL clubs after we dive deep into the four finals games this weekend.
My name is Eli Kator, and I'm listening to Nijin Footy.
Here we go, T. It is finals footy. Honestly, it's when I look at all these games, the teams that are in form, the teams that are sort of limped in, just the big players that will be, you know, standing up. It's exciting time of the year, and I'm keen to get your thoughts. How are you feeling around this NRL final series?
Mate, very excited. Very, very excited, because I just don't know who's going to win each game. There are teams that have come in to the top eight in form. There's teams that have lost the last couple rounds coming into, and they finished top four. So there's going to be some upsets, but there's also going to be, you know, some really high performance games, high-level performance games this weekend. Now, we'll start with the Storm versus Bulldogs. Played in Melbourne tonight. The Storm, they have a few changes due to injuries. Now, due to Jerome Hughes' injury at halfback, Tyron Wishart, he'll be starting at halfback, one of the best utility players. And then Nick Meaney will cover for Ryan Papenhuyzen, who's out due to a concussion. Joe Chan, Samoan as well. He'll be starting at centre, and Harry Grant's back. Now, for the Bulldogs, Jethro Rinakama, he'll be starting at winger's position because Marcelo Montoya had that ankle injury last week. And, mate, when you look at this game, it's always hard to beat Storm in Melbourne, but the Storm have lost the last two games down in Melbourne the last couple of weeks. So Bulldogs, will go down there with a bit of confidence there, knowing that, you know, Jerome Hughes isn't playing, Ryan Papenhuyzen isn't playing. But for the Storm, they just have finals experience. You know, they've got Harry Grant, they've got Cam Munster, but I think there's going to be a huge battle between the back rowers, Eli Katoa and Viliami Kikau. Then both of those players will have big moments in this game. Expect to see Xavier Coates. They go to Xavier Coates' aerial game, jumping up. Cam Munster putting it up for Xavier Coates for his trademark try. Now, for the Bulldogs again, when you've got players like Viliami Kikau and Stephen Crichton as a leader, those two need to step up if they're going to be successful in this game against the Storm. I think them two players are the main threats for Bulldogs.
When I look at these two teams, I'm looking at big games. So I think the spine is obviously the most important part. Decision makers, who handles the ball the most times in a game. And then it's like those players either side of that spine. So you mentioned Viliami Kikau, we've got Stephen Crichton. But at the end of the day, I feel like if the forwards don't do a job or the people don't get them on the front foot, they might not have the involvement they'd want to have if their decision makers aren't doing the right job. So when you look at the decision makers through that spine of the Dogs and Melbourne, who's got the better? Who would you say would have the bigger influence?
I'd have to go with the Storm.
Yeah?
I'd have to go with the Storm. When you got Harry Grant, Cam Munster and Tyron Wishart who are filling his role, you look on the other end at the Bulldogs where you've got Bailey Hayward, Lachlan Galvin, Matt Burden. You know, Cam Munster, Harry Grant, Queensland series winners. They've won competitions. They know how to get the job done. But again, they need their team to go forward for them to be able to play their style of footy, to be able to create opportunities. So that's where those big men will play a big role, like Stefano Toikamanu, Eli Katoa, and then off the bench you got big Tui Kamitha Mitha. So if I had to tip one, I'd have to go with the Storm in Melbourne for that game.
I'm with you on that. I'm just looking at exactly what you said there with Galvin, Burden, and Haywood. Just that spine, great players, good talent, but pressure. That when the pressure is on down in Melbourne Friday night, I just think the Storm have the decision makers to be able to get the job done there.
On to the next game on Saturday. The first one of the two matches played that Saturday is the Warriors versus the Panthers in New Zealand. Now, the Warriors, Leka Halasima will be starting at back row with Kurt Capewell moving to the centre position. With the Panthers, you've got Brian To'o and Liam Martin returning from a two-week rest, but the big one in this one for the Panthers, no Mitch Kenny due to a hamstring injury. Luke Summerton will be replacing Mitch in the hooker position. Now, for the Warriors, I think home field advantage obviously will play a big key. When you've got a fan base like the New Zealand Warriors, how passionate they are, love seeing all those posters with all the comments on them, and just how loud they cheer for their team. Yeah, you've got the atmosphere, the drums, the flares. That's going to play a role. I also think if the Warriors are to win this one, their back three in Chance Nickel-Klokstad, Dallin Watine-Zalesniak and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, I think they'll need to be at their best. You know, when you think of the way Panthers play, kick long, play the territory game, them three need to get them out of that back end of the field. Now, the other one they do have as well is James Fisher-Harris. Coming from the Panthers, you know, winning four competitions in a row with the Panthers, now he would have some kind of insight on how they play. So it wouldn't surprise me if Fisher-Harris has worked with the team on trying to give some kind of the Panthers recipe or secret. It's also the Webby's our head coach for the Warriors, did spend a lot of time at the Panthers as their assistants. All right, in the other game on Saturday, I think this might be the game. For me, this is the game of the whole weekend. Now, not because I got to represent both teams and I like to call it the Aruna Cup, but just because it's a I think it's an even match, and I honestly do not know who will win. You've got the Sharks versus the Roosters. This one at Shark Park. So Cronulla end up winning that battle with getting the home field advantage.
So 10,000 people will be there.
Oh, yeah. Ronaldo Mulitalo, it was funny. I heard him on social media on a podcast talking about, come to our construction site and they can come and play. If you want to play at Allianz, well, then go and make fifth position. But for the Sharks, K.O. Iro, he'll be starting at centre with Siosifa Talakai on the bench. And the Roosters, they'll run with the same 17. But expect to see Benaya Ioelu come off the bench and start at 9, because that's the way that they've been playing the last few weeks. For the Sharks, I think their pack will need to get them on the front foot to get guys like Nico Hines and Braden Trindle to play their style of footy and create opportunities to score points. But when you've got a pack that has a leader in Adam Fanua-Blake, I think he will lead the way and he'll need to lead the way. But then off the bench, you've got Oregon Kafusi, Braden Hamlin, Uele, and again, Siosifa Talakai. So a big pack, they get them forward, Nico Hines, Braden Trindle, create opportunities. For the Roosters, I think James Tedesco is going to win Player of the Year or the Daily M Award. So he is going to be named the best player of the NRL for 2025. They've also got their own back three, Daniel Tupou, Mark Nawanganitawase, who is in form. They've also, they score a lot of tries, Mark being the top try scorer. And then their pack, Spencer Lenu, Lindsay Collins, Nalfahu White in the middle there. So when you look at that team, both teams, they just complement one another where it's like very, very even.
Going into this game, just having a look at these two, the stat that wins competitions, T, what's the one, especially final series?
Defense.
The Roosters and Sharks at the moment have some of the best defense and attacking form going into final series over the last 4 weeks. So Roosters attack 118 to them, only letting in 58 points. And the Shark is 106 at 4 and 66 against.
When's that, the last?
Last 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
The last 4 weeks. So they've both won 3 out of the last 4, and their losses have either been like those little slip-ups. So the Roosters had against the Eels, and then the Sharks had one against the Dragons. But yeah, I really like this game. I think this is going to be a really tight one. And they're probably Roosters probably my smoky going into this final series. If they can have a run, I reckon, could be going the Roosters here.
I'm going to sit on the fence. and then on to the last game. On the Sunday, Raiders versus the Broncos in Canberra. Raiders, they have their best 17 ready to play. A well-rested team as well, with Josh Papali'i named to play, even though he had that injury scare during the week. Simi Sasangi, he's on the bench. And Savalio Tamali, he'll be starting on the wing there for the Canberra Raiders. Now for the Broncos, Gamet Shibasaki, he returns from his little
rest period.
Rest period. his weekend off last week.
Thinking about his actions.
So that pushes Dean Mariner to the wing. Gamet, he'll be starting at centre. Raiders, home ground advantage. Sucks playing at Canberra. I used to hate it. It's cold.
At least it's an afternoon game.
Yeah.
Sunday afternoon. So I guess it's not as...
But you're also coming from Brisbane.
You're not coming
from Sydney. You're flying all the way down from Brisbane. I think them having the rest that they did as well, having last week off, will help guys like Josh Papali'i, Joseph Tapine, those older heads that will need that rest. I think they'll come in feeling fresh. And then they've just got that youth of a backline and halves and Ethan Strange, Jamal Fogarty. For the Broncos, I think the thing that they have for them is there's no pressure. There's no pressure. If they lose, they'll still go into the next round. So they don't have to play with any expectation or any pressure on them. They are in form as well. Massive win last week against the Storm. Reece Walsh had one of his best games of the year. He was on fire. When you've got Payne Huss leading their pack, there's going to be a great battle in the middle of Payne Huss, Josh Papali'i, Joseph Tapine. But yeah, I just think, again, very, very even teams, but whoever loses will still go into the next round. So there's not that added pressure.
Man, that's a tough game to choose. I think the form team at home, that crowd is going to be electric there for the Canberra Raiders. When you think of someone like like a Reece Walsh, if he has one of those games, is that enough for the Broncos to get over the line? So if him and the two best players in the competition, when they're at their best, Payne Haas in the forwards, probably Reece Walsh at the back, are those two players, do they have a big enough influence to carry that team over the line against the in-form Raiders?
The only thing is that I look on the other end and you've got KO Weeks, who can be Reece Walsh on
Very
his
true.
Day. And he's had these massive moments this year as well. Again, on the other side, Joseph Tapine has been one of the best props in the competition for a number of years. So very even. So I still think that the Broncos going to need a little bit more than just those two players. When you've got Katoni Stairs, Gamut, Dean Mariner, they're back five as well. They go pretty solid as well. So very even both sides.
Who's your sure thing? And who's your shock?
Over the weekend?
Over the weekend. Your sure thing and your upset.
Don't do this to me.
Sure thing and an upset.
I'm going to go sure thing Melbourne Storm.
Yep.
At Storm, I just think, when do you ever see Melbourne lose three in a row in Melbourne? My shock, if this comes through, I'm going to say the Warriors.
Oh, that's a big call.
To knock out the Panthers will be my smoky shock.
That is huge.
And I'm only saying that because I got a few boys over there and I know a lot of people out there are Warriors fans, but they are also playing at home. So
okay.
I hope they they are.
I
successful.
Love those two picks, bro. I love those two picks. Well done, my friend. That was a great insight. Great insight. It's going to help with my tipping. So beautiful.
Well, Sammy, we've still got more NRL news. Scans have confirmed that Hamiso Tabuai-Fidel has sustained a grade 3 MCL injury in the knee. So that will rule him out for the upcoming Pacific Championships, which is a huge blow for the Toa Samoa. And, we wish him well during his recovery. The Sharks have also re-signed KL Ito, the Cook Island legend, on a 4-year extension. That will see him stay at the Sharks until the end of the 2030 season. In other news, talks of one of the State of Origin games going to New Zealand shortly. I know that they've been itching for a game to get over
Love
there.
Love that idea.
I mean, if
Love
we're going to have it in Perth, man, let's build a fan base in New Zealand. So
Eden Park, it'll be sold out within it'll be sold out in an hour.
And then it's been announced that Teddy Swims, the singer, he's locked in as the NRL Grand Final entertainment. Sammy, do you know Teddy Swims?
I might know his songs. Do you have a bar for me that I could?
I lose control.
You nearly hit that note. Not bad. Oh, does he sing that song?
That's the song, brother.
Okay, yeah. Don't mind it at all. Don't mind that at all.
And then we mentioned Jethro Rinakama getting Rookie of the Year and a few other awards across the NRL. The Bulldogs, Stephen Crichton, was named the Player of the Year at Manly. Guess who was the Player of the Year there?
Manly. Who's our Hamole?
Tolu Taukola.
Oh.
Yep. He had a big season for Manly Seagulls. The Eels, who was their Rookie of the Year?
Papali'i at the back.
Come on.
No, Blaise Talangi. Jokes. He's at Penrith. I'm joking. I'm all over the shop here. Who's the fullback? Yongi.
Yongi.
Sorry, I was getting to his name.
So he got Rookie of the Year. And at the Panthers, Laurent Patea. He got the Rookie of the Year at Penrith Panthers. So congrats to all them men across the NRL. It's good to see our Nesian players getting the acknowledgement and recognition that they deserve. Off to rugby union. I know we've got a lot of stuff to catch up with Nemani.
With Nems
soon, but I believe you're going to cover Women's Rugby World Cup.
Yes, absolutely. So we'll cover the PNC semi-finals with Nemani over there because some big games with Tonga playing Japan and Fiji will play Canada. So those games will be played in Denver and Colorado. That'll be on early Monday morning, you know, so we'll find out the results and probably have that for you on Nijin Footy Mondays. But yeah, we'll talk about the Women's Rugby World Cup. The quarterfinals are here. So we have New Zealand versus South Africa, Australia versus Canada, France versus Ireland, and England versus Scotland. The favourites for this tournament has to be probably England and New Zealand. That's looking the likelihood for probably a grand final to see who will be crowned World Cup champions. But Australia take on Canada, and when we look at this game, the last time Australia played Canada, the Wallaroos, Canada sort of beat them, I think it was like 45-7. So they've got a big task at hand, and Canada are ranked number two. But get this, T, they crowdfunded $1 million to get to this World Cup, Canada, and they're ranked number two. To help with their preparations, because of the funding issues, they went to the public, the Canada faithful, the rugby fans out there, and they crowdfunded $1 million, and they only got that amount just before the competition started.
Jeez, how good.
And they're ranked number two in the world. But yeah, so that's going to be a big one for the Wallaroos. They've got a mammoth task in front of them, and yeah, I can't see them getting the job done against Canada, but there's some great games ahead and record crowds for the Women's Rugby World Cup. And it's going to be a cracker come semi-final and finals time. But some good news as well for the Wallabies.
What do you got for us?
We've been banging on about this guy, hopefully getting into the 23.
Please tell me you're talking about Lukan.
I am definitely talking about Lukan Salakai-Lotto. He is on the bench to take on Argentina this week. So he's finally in there. He must have patted the dog this week.
Or someone must have hurt us.
That too. But he will get into the 23. And for the first time in 2025, Hunter Paisami will be playing in the number 12 jersey for the Wallabies. Len Ikitau has probably been the most informed centre in Test rugby so far. He's having a break this week. He will deserved break, and Hunter comes in with he's going to be a great replacement. So he'll be partnering, what's his name? The best player in the world at the moment so far.
Joseph Suoli.
There you go. I was just testing. Man, my mind is elsewhere at the moment. Not enough coffee today. Yeah, probably not. I'm just having mind blanks with names, but yes.
Been a long day, mate.
It has been a very long day, and hopefully the Wallabies get another victory. But that's all we have for Rugby Union until we get to the man himself, Demani Kundrani.
Beautiful. Let's head over to Sala Tongatuki to cover all things Rugby League NRLW.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
It is time to hear from our New South Wales origin and NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters, and the 2025 origin New South Wales winner, Tigers best and fairest, and Fetu Samoa and Jillaroos player Sala Tongatuki. Sala, welcome back to Nijin Footy Fridays. I know we are about to head into the last round of the NRLW where you'll be playing the Warriors, but there was some big news recently with your current head coach, Brett Camorley. He is stepping away. Let's start with there. How hard was that as a playing group? What was that, you know, the emotions like running through that period of time?
Yeah, it was just very emotional. I guess like us players are lucky. We've got that relationship with Noddy that, you know, he was vulnerable and he let us in on his decision to actually go in and ask them to release him pretty much. Like rather than continuing on, he's had a lot of tough conversations, and I guess that was pretty much what the club was already going to do anyways with the way their mission or vision was looking for 2026. Richo's pretty much already spoken out publicly that he wanted to revamp the women's program to hopefully reflect the outcome that the boys have achieved this year. So, yeah, it's disheartening. It's sad, like for me personally, because I started a journey with Noddy with only a couple of us still here from the inaugural season, and he's contributed a lot to us just as a playing group and the program. But, yeah, I know that he won't stop, like, giving back to the women's game and contributing with his great knowledge. So, yeah, the last week, yeah, it's been hard.
Yeah, it's always going to be – it's always not easy when a coach gets moved on from a club because, yeah, they are humans. They've got families as well. We've seen it at the NRL level as well where a couple coaches have been moved on, and it's always a tough time when you think of them as, you know, humans, not coaches. So, I do wish Brett Camorley all the best, and, you know, also with you girls and your playing group. You know, it's going to be a bit of a rebuild, but, you know, hopefully some positive signs for the near future.
It's probably a little bit premature, you know, because you still have one game to go. But when you think of, you know, coaches that are in the NRLW space, who would you like to have as a coach who's out there at the moment?
Great question.
One of my favourite coaches from when I started playing professional was Jamie Feeney. He's up the coast with his family, and obviously he's been growing his family, but he was actually also the Pathways manager for Gillaroos, and so he did all these camps and pulled a lot of talent from everywhere around Australia. Like, we had all these mini camps. It was sort of like an exposure, like, to what the Gillaroo standard camps were like. So I guess it gave us, I don't know, he was just so good with stuff like that. And it made us girls feel more inspired and wanted to get to that NRW stage and play from there on with coaches like him. But then another one would be, I've never had him coach me, but I've heard a lot of good things about this coach, Ben Crossey. He's done the Origin Women's and all the players in that Origin team then that was still in Origin space that I was fortunate enough to be in. They spoke so much highly of him and how much, you know, they would have loved him to stay on, but he also had his own commitments to move to Queensland. So maybe Queensland's taking all the coaches. I don't know.
Maybe it's the sun up there or the weather there, or the coaches want to go up there and spend or raise a young family there. But personally for you, you know, I know it hasn't been the best season as a club for the Tigers, but yeah, how have you managed this season and, you know, tried to keep things positive as well?
Yeah, that's a good one. Because to be fair, like, I nearly didn't play the season. I nearly made the decision of not playing it because obviously I was still grieving my sister, and I guess I'm grateful. I've been praying a lot, and I've leaned, like, my family have been behind me just showing up. And I once was told by a cool mentor that I was fortunate enough to have met midway through the season. His name's Babs, and he's been guiding me a lot around leadership, but more so just me as a person, what my values and everything are. And he reminded me, like, of think of your life, like, life, and like, think of every day as like you've got life insurance. I don't know if he's heard of it. And he was like, every time you don't turn up and that, like, it's minus like 10 and stuff. But imagine if your life insurance was just on 100, and if you don't turn up to training, like, cause obviously footy, like, provides, it's like sort of like an income for me as well. So if I don't turn up to training, if I don't have that attitude or intent or anything, I'm minus every 10. Like, those are minus 10 all the time. And yeah, I think it came down to, it just shows, like, you got to be consistent every day, no matter, even if it's a day. He's like, you need to still have your life insurance there. Otherwise your lifeline's like, what? Like, you're gone. You're no use. And I'm like, okay. So I pretty much just looked at that every day. Like, if I woke up or turned up just going to work or going to training, I looked at it as a big win. To some, it might not be a big win, but to you boys would know, like, sometimes you just don't feel like turning up. You just sort of want to stay in your comfort a bit. But yeah, every time I've turned up this season, it's been different. I've always felt uncomfortable, which has probably brought out the best out of me. It's good to be uncomfortable in tough situations. I don't know. I think it's helped me grow more resilient. Like, you guys as parents would understand the holy heck, I like the sacrifice and the commitment to still try and be dedicated to your craft and your work. Like, it's not easy. So yeah, if I don't turn up and that, these kids don't eat. So if all the whole thing behind it is these kids are like my motivation. Yep. So yeah, they inspire me, even though they do my head in. But
you're absolutely right there. Like, when those challenges, those tough times happen, it's sometimes very hard to think what are the little wins in life that you do get. You know, and as soon as you go, you know what, we're not winning on the scoreboard, which is the big outcome, but where are the little wins in life? And if it is just, oh man, I got my coffee today, that's a win. And you tally that up, and then you go, you know what, everything's actually all good. I'm glad I did that. So I'm really touched by the fact that you brought that up because, you know, even for myself, you know, I reckon I needed that right now with what's happening around at the moment. But I appreciate that insight. And I think what I really loved as well is your leadership, you know, especially last week. Let's talk about that try. Was that you off the scrum? Was that you off the scrum? Was that off the scrum?
Was that a special
move? You know, so
a special scrum
just,
play or
get on my back, give me the board. I'm just going to do my thing. Like, was that? Is that how it all unfolded?
You know what
for
that
you?
Reminded me of? Like under sevens, where you just give the best player the ball, and then they just run around everyone, try it.
Talk us through that one.
Oh my days.
Don't be humble either.
Yeah.
Nah. Like, I hope she doesn't listen to this, but I always look at my niece, Milik, and because she does the ball girl and that with Kyla and Kalia, they're Tiana and Chris Scanlan's daughters.
Yep.
Inessa. And every time I look at her, like, it gives me so much purpose. Like, I'm like, if I don't run through someone right now, I don't know what the heck I'm inspiring this girl. What is the point of her playing? So we obviously had attempts off the scrum, like where that's a set play, like where we get the middle to take it up. And I got through, but like obviously didn't score. But then I was like, you know what? Like, if I can, I just felt the whole team come to me, like, because they knew I was getting it anyways. So then the next time we got the opportunity to do a scrum, I nearly went into the fold. I was like, oh, am I going to get a breather in the scrum? But I was like, maybe not. I was like, I'll stand out here. And I looked up and I knew the edge that I was running at. They had Fleur, like nothing on her, but she's a smaller frame and inexperienced and an edge. And I was like, oh, like if I asked my half, I was like, pop it to me out. I want to try and get to her. And I knew when I got to her straight away, I was like, I can beat. Sorry, Takiki, Kiana, I was like, I mean, I can beat her. I was like, I'll try. And we spoke after. But anyways, yeah, it just happened quick. I saw like space still before I saw the sideline. And I was just like, please, God, I don't want to see the sideline. I was like, get me to the corner somewhere. But, yeah, grateful. Like,
no, that's awesome. And Kiki being Kiana Takarangi, who made her Parramatta Eels debut was on the receiving end of your try.
Brad would have been given it to her. I've got no doubt Brad would be her harshest critic there.
I know. I saw that. I was like, I'm so sorry. But fun fact, though, for her family, her brother, the dad, like they've all gone through like Parramatta from what I've been told.
Yep.
So that's a special debut, hence why the whole family was still there.
Yeah,
she's played
it,
like
you made it one big memory for her and the family.
The Takaranga family.
She scored as well on my edge. So I was like, oh,
but you are silly. You are an inspiration and an influence on rugby league in general because of that try. As you know, my sons, I coach my son's footy team. They've got their grand final. So last night we had this move. I created this move where I bring the prop out and we're calling it Tank. Where we have the prop run, have a crack on the outside backs. We'll run it out a bit wider. If he doesn't score, we'll lay one in and then we're going to the other tank to be the other prop with a big two pass on the other side. So I should have called it Salah. Actually, damn.
No, look, tank is hectic.
Maybe anyway. I reckon you should do that. If it doesn't work, then cross field kick straight away to the wing. Oh man. That will go off if that come off.
Oh, I might just kick it, eh? I might try and set off a kick.
I reckon this week when you go and play the Warriors, put a little kick in.
Yes. Last game, what have you got to lose?
Yeah, might as well just have some fun.
Except the game again. No, dude. I'm joking. Let's get on to the other games.
Let's get on to footy. We've got a couple big NRLW games that you're going to cover. We'll start with the Bulldogs versus the Eels. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, obviously if the Eels win tonight, they'll keep their finals hopes alive and turn their attention to the Titans and Raiders clash. But we'll talk about that after. I think it's a massive game with Eels taking on the Bulldogs who are just starting to find form again. The Eels have obviously had a convincing win over my team last week without Elsie Albert, but she's back tonight, which is a huge boost through the middle. And I know they'll need her against a very physical Bulldogs pack. Although the Bulldogs are probably unlikely to make finals with their for and against, like any other team wrapping up the season, they'd want to finish strong and make a statement against their Western Sydney rivals. I feel that the Bulldogs have gone away from their biggest strength the last couple of weeks, getting their middle forwards involved, changing angles and forcing a defence to work. That's what opens up the game for their spine to play what's in front of them. But also Ash Quinlan comes back into the side and she was outstanding last time she played. She obviously often sets up her winger for a couple of tries, which is, it helps spark their attack. But I've got a couple of key matchups. I'm in the middle, Alexis Taloniai. It's cool because she's named at prop, but she normally plays back row. And then she's a lot, she's partnered up with Holly Wheeler and Tekka, locked up at lock, but she'll be up against the big engine, Kennedy Sherrington, and also Elsie Alba and Brianna Eels in the middle. So I feel for me, this is where the game will be won or lost, whichever middle, fold pack can win the ruck, give their halves time to play and all that. I reckon that will, yeah.
Who are you tipping for this one?
I'm going to go with the Eels.
I would go with the Eels because they've played for so much, you know, to keep their chances alive to make the top eight and jump the Titans who are sitting at, sorry, top six, jump the Titans who are sitting at six. So, yeah, I agree with you, the Eels.
Yeah, they've got a lot to play for and, yeah, it's just the game has a bit of everything. I pretty much, yeah, we've just obviously seen Taylor Preston awarded Player of the Year for Bulldogs, but you got Rachel Pearson, who's got such good experience. Like, obviously, we just played her last week, and she just knows how to find her kicks and get her team out of trouble. And I think they'll go a long way for the Eels, is Rats' kicking game. So, yeah, I don't know. Both sides have smart organizers, and they're good at controlling field position, which is key into every game. But, yeah, I'm excited to see how they go, the Eels.
And then we've seen the Raiders. Although they lost to Roosters last week, they were very strong, you know, played some good footy. But coming up against the Titans, what are your thoughts on the Titans versus the Raiders this Saturday?
Yeah, obviously this one's obviously another massive one for the Titans because the win here locks them into that sixth spot for finals footy. But they were disappointed last week going down to the Knights. As you know, like, they'd be fired up. And they've got some big names back at the right time as well. Brynin Nailee Nutty, she comes back at dummy half, but off the bench. She's got so much experience to give for this team, and it's just what they need to steer the team around. But Sienna Lefipo's back up the front too, so their middle looks really strong. I know that Jess Elliston, she's been leading. I think she's third in the most run meters for the competition. She's first for the most post contact. So she's been doing a lot of work this season, in the absence of Shannon Maddow. So she stepped up really well for the Titans. But I love the matchup in the middle of Samaima Taufa, and Georgia Hale. Both have huge engines. Like, Georgia's leading the whole comp in the competition in tackles, and Mimes, like, she just keeps turning up with her tough carries for her team at the right time. So I reckon this battle will set the tone for the game. But yeah, like you said, the Raiders have nothing to lose. They played unreal against Roosters last week. And yeah, you can tell they're building. Elise Simpson at fullback, she's been really impressive for me. She just plays what she sees, eyes up footy. She finishes really well. But a couple of more players to watch. Destiny Sinapati, she comes back. And Esther Noa Faitala Marina. I think it was her debut, or she's just, she scored on it. But she's a really hard runner from what I watched last week. And I reckon she'll be really good head to head with Leia Tufunga, who's been really outstanding for, Raiders. So, yeah, she just loves to take the tough carries late. And yeah, I guess you've got Phoenix Rain Hippie. I find her really deceiving. Like, she's so strong. Like, she's sneaky strong, and she's got a lot of spark on that edge. Her finishes are really, they're tough and good. So I think the Raiders will want to just finish on a high, but obviously Titans are at home with everything to play for. So I think it should be a proper physical game with finals.
If you had to pick one team to win this one, who are you picking?
I'd go with Titans. Like, obviously these teams that are, like, wanting, it's just a tough run, like, to try and get to that sixth spot. So I'd go with Titans. They got everything to play for, and it's their home game advantage as well. Home crowd. They're going to be so much boosted and energy in that for that game.
Awesome. Well, that wraps us up. Again, we thank you for your expertise in the NRW. Wish you all the best for this weekend in your last game for the season, and enjoy yourself after. Make sure you stay safe.
Stay hydrated. Look after yourself. Look after one another.
Have a good time, but also go out there and do your best this weekend against the Warriors. Wish you all the best, and thank you, Sala Tongatuki.
Thanks, boys. Appreciate it.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijin Puri.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemani.
With Nemani Kurindrani.
All right, it's time to chat rugby union with a Fijian rugby legend. World Cups, he's had over 150 top class games in France, Japan, the UK, Australia and New Zealand. He's a try scoring machine. The Fijian John Olomu Nemani Kurundrani set brother Lola.
Lola win our bullet boys.
Man, hey, after we spoke last week, you said you weren't going to go to homecoming, the concert. You said, nah, bruss, no tickets, can't get... Yeah, a few hours later, I see you at homecoming backstage, bruss. How did that happen? How did that all come about?
Bruss, sometimes, you know, when you pray and you pray hard, you know, the prayers get answered. And I happened to have a backstage pass to the homecoming. So anyway, my mates were here and I said, look, I'm not coming. Woke up on Saturday and they're like, well, bruss, I've got you a ticket. Anyway, we went in to go in. Everyone's gone into theirs. And they're like, oh, Mr. Nandola, you have to go backstage. Go to the backstage. And all my mates are like, man, this is a joke. You said you're not coming. You've dropped us off, and you actually got out of the car with us.
2 weeks and already getting backstage passes, eh? He's good, mate.
He's very good, this bloke. Right.
He's very good. Mate, it was good night. Eh? Like, I drank kava, and, yeah, I got sick for my troubles. So I only went for one day.
Before we get into the footy chat, who was the best artist there?
The best. Well, there were a lot of good artists there, but for me, it was Spawn Breezy. Those guys who know Spawn Breezy and Sam Wykes' G-Star Jeans days, tight jeans. Spawn Breezy
with the skinny jeans. Nah,
the skinny jeans. So that was my artist because I went for that day. But you know, there was Moley. There was a lot of good artists there, and a lot of good local artists as well. So I must say though, that weekend, the homecoming brought in $1.5 million to Nundi and Lotoka. So thanks to all who came and stuff like that. That's only going to boost, you know, the economy here in Nundi and Lotoka.
On the back of the draw as well.
I know, man. And then the common denominator is you, Nems, as well, mate. Since you've been back, you're just bringing in money to the country, son. How good.
The gift that just keeps on giving.
Just please give me some money.
Exactly.
Give me some money. Well, let's rip straight into the rugby union. Last week, Manu Samoa taking it up to Fiji. What were your thoughts on this one?
Expected. I really thought in the first sort of 50 minutes, Samoa were really dominant. You saw a different side of Samoa. Their set piece, their forwards were just, you know, like in that first sort of 20 minutes of that game, it was all Samoa. You know, I was really happy with my standouts was their hooker, Peter Aneasu, scored a try. But he was really heavy in those exchange, you know, like in the contact between the set forwards, always involved. And that's sort of what you needed in your hookers. And I think Samoa's probably lacked that in their hookers over the years. And another one for me was Rodney Iona, who Melbourne boy, and he kills really instrumental in their kicks. Just his kicks for goal, he's really good with the boot. A lot of people doubt, you know, sort of underrate that. And I thought he held them really good. But again, just goes to show Fiji in that back end of that, you know, of that game, like every other game, they just that drawer. You know, Super Rugby tempo starts to kick in, starts to flow in, and we saw Seth Tamanivalu with all, he was all class as well. So, no, really good with Samoa. I was really pleased with the way they played. Big improvements from the last few games they've played, but, yeah, the Flying Fijians were just too strong.
Yeah, when we spoke last Friday and then we came back on Monday for a bit of a review, I just said you were spot on with your analysis. You said it was going to be tight up until the 60th minute. You said Samoa was going to bring their physicality and Fiji would win in the end. So it was absolutely spot on with that. And you're right, man, Samoa improved so much, especially around their set piece. And I thought they found some little chinks in the armour around their counter rucks as well in the wide breakdowns. Now, we'll look forward to the semi-final matchups. We have Fiji taking Canada, and then we have Tonga taking on Japan. How do you see these two games playing out? We'll start with Fiji and Canada.
Yeah, well, you know, it's going to be a tough game. Like Fiji, last time Canada, let's go on record, last time Canada played Fiji and Canada, they beat them. I was actually part of that team that they beat. But I blame the travel because we travelled 24 hours to get there, played 48 hours later, flew back to Fiji 8 hours after that. So
Anyway, that's in the past.
I think they're world travel this time around. Mick Byrne has made sure that their preparation is spot on around that travel.
You know, as an old timer, I just want to bring that in just to say that I played there as well and we lost. But
was that because of funding as well?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, 100%. So, you know, back then we didn't have the Sam White sort of Fiji Airways upgraded business class tickets. We were all back on the subject. Canada is going to be good. I think, you know, they beat the US. You know, they're playing at home. They've got, again, it's just time in the saddle. I still think Fiji are going to be too strong. They're probably, them and Japan are probably the only professional sides in that comp. But the way I see it, Canada will be playing with adrenaline. They'll be playing with pride for that first sort of 40 minutes. And then I just think Fiji will withstand that and come away with the win. I think it'll be a strong win for Fiji in the end.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And what about the Tonga-Japan game? I feel like this is a really good matchup, especially there's a lot of Pacific Islanders that are playing for Japan. Eddie was saying there's not too much experience in terms of caps in there, but some quality in that Japanese side. But also Tonga, they've improved a lot this year.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think it's going to be the one thing. I think if Tonga can get Japan to play their game, bring that tempo to them, you know, depending on what the weather's like, Tonga are in for a real shot here. I think they're a team that's really come leaps and bounds with, like I said, with their coaches that they have there at the helm. But it's not going to be an easy game. But in saying that, Tonga, they've spent a week at altitude. So, again, the other games, they're all playing at altitude, so that's going to play a big part for Fiji and Tonga. But Tonga have had a week over there now. So, going back to the Fiji-Canada game, that could come back to hurt them, but I doubt it. And, yeah, I just think guys like Augustin Pulu, you know, Siale, this is where you want your big dog gun, like your big guns to really step up. You know, young Patrick Pellegrini, I mean, he's young, but he still holds the big key in that Tongan side. Ben Tamafuna, you know, this is a game. I really feel if their old heads can really step up, I really think Tonga's in with the win. And dare say, I'm going to say it.
Say it, please, because I need to get my tips right this week.
They've won qualifications to the World Cup, so they'll be cheering. Thanks to you're welcome.
Yeah, hey, Vinaka Russ, Vinaka Fiji.
I'm tipping a Tongan upset boil over here.
Ooh. Just
there it is.
One comment that caught my mind was when you mentioned that the Tongan team's in USA for a week now.
Yeah.
For the preparation. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing, knowing, you know, that time in another country, you know, some of those takeaways at USA, the boys being comfortable.
They've already qualified.
For
World Cup, yeah.
On the back of, you know, Fiji beating the Manu Samoa. Or is it a positive thing because they get to prepare and sleep well and all those things that come with going earlier?
It's funny. It's good. That's a good point. I think coaches of old probably would have allowed this. I think with the new coaches that they have there, you know, you're no-nonsense Nili Latu, you're no-nonsense Halangahu, and is it Orlando?
Yeah, Sokai, yep.
Sokai, who's – these guys are proven – you know, they were very disciplined players in their time and, again, proven good coaches, young coaches in their clubs. I don't think that's the case. I honestly think that they've got that core group of leaders that they have there and they've got an opportunity to go out. And, yes, people might say they've enjoyed the holidays, but like I said, you need these leaders to stand up, not just in the game, but throughout this, you know, period leading into Japan, because they've got a great opportunity now to prove to the world that, yes, they're in the World Cup, but that they didn't need another country to get them there. You get what I mean? So
yeah.
And I just feel they've got a point to prove this week against Japan. And, again, Japan's not really travelling well. Yes, they're beating Tier 2 nations, but I just really feel if Tonga can just click, this is that game. And I honestly feel that it's going to be a boil over.
Hey, before we finish up, Nems, I just want to ask you, you've played in Japan, I've played in Japan. Give us an insight of what it's like when you're that big, but coming up against, you know, Japanese players that are quick and, you know, it's a different style of play, playing over there and how they come out. Because there's an automatic thing just because they're Japanese that you're going to run over them or that you're going to be more physical than them. But give us an insight about, you know, when you were playing over there.
So I always, in attack wise. I know they're always quicker than me. I knew that. But I'll always, my advantage as a winger when I was playing is, you know, they always say, show them the side.
Yep.
And a lot of wingers do that to you, right? They show you the side. So a lot of Japanese guys, I wouldn't run over them as such. And this is from attack point of view. I would run around, but obviously slow. But where I would have it over them is when you make contact with me, I would know how to, if want to go low, when to go high, when to use my palm and stuff like that. So I sort of learned that when I was in Japan. You know, like I was never quick. I was never the fittest. But I know that if you show me the sideline, that's what I want. And then over the years, good, like, you know, better teams like Suntory and that would not show me the sideline and get up on me. That's when, you know, get up on me. But from a defense point of view, I don't show them the sideline.
Cut the time off, get in their face.
So there'll be so many times I'd literally just rush up because, yes, you've got to catch the ball. But what I found was then obviously it's changed now. You know, it's 10 years, mate. Like they're well advanced. From what I'm watching, I would go up and they would drop the ball 9 times out of 10 because they're looking at me. So it had nothing to do with the fact that I could tackle. I probably only made 3 or 4 tackles in a season, but it was the fact that my presence was there. And then I'd be like, they would be like, oh, especially when you're playing against the quicker wingers, right? But then they think, you know, like everyone's like, oh, Nadola-san, you know, like, Sugoi. But in my head, I'm like,
it is a different style when you play against them. I think it's an experience that I really enjoyed because it's such a different style because, yeah, they were so quick, man. They don't want to play slow footy. They don't want to have that physical confrontation. But they can do it, but they'd rather move the ball. And that's what we're going to see against Tonga. If they can move the ball around, yeah, some of those big boys might be a bit tired off the back of that. But Nems, so you're going Fiji for the win, Tonga for the upset.
Fiji for the win, I think 13 plus or whatever it is. But Tonga, I'm calling it last 2-3 minutes. This is where they win the game. Correct me if I'm wrong. We'll make sure we get our man to record this. Patrick to kick the winning goal.
Done. Say less. Done. You're right. Say less. And on that note, Vinaka Brass, more there. And we'll check in with you again next week. Appreciate your time.
Have a good weekend, boys.
Let's get ready to rumble.
Knockout tipping time.
Yes, each Friday we play knockout tip-in where the loser at the end of the year has to buy a jersey of the winner's choice. Now we get to pick one team each week and then we can't pick them until we've picked the others. So I got 3 from 3 last week.
Oh, I got donuts last week.
Gets
I had
me
an
out
absolute
to 34,
shocker.
34. You're on 31. Let's start with NRL this week. I know we're starting to get to the very pointy end and we've only got a few teams, so we have to be very strategic on how we pick these teams. Sammy, I'll let you kick us off. Who you got for NRL?
Man, I've tried to come in with a lot of preparation this week, my friend. Look at my list here with all the writing on there.
I was wondering what you were doing
I'm trying to do my for and against, my stats and who I'm going to choose here because I feel like your 3-point lead is probably a little bit too far to catch up on. So I have to get something right here to close the gap. And I'm looking at the Roosters Sharks game to bang that one out of the way. I think I want to go the Roosters here.
On form?
On form.
It's going to be a tough game. Very close. I think it's going to be one in the middle. But when you've got threats like Mark and Daniel on the outside, there's always going to be points available there. So good choice. So you've gone Roosters.
Yeah, I'll go the Roosters. Yep.
I'm going to go. I know I said that Warriors would be the upset or the smoky, but I'm actually going to go the Panthers.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be your actual tip, but like that would be.
If there was one,
that would be it for sure.
NRLW?
NRLW, yeah, I need a sure thing here. And who are the Tigers playing?
I don't know. We just spoke to Salah. Nah, you can't copy me. I've been doing this every single week.
No,
I'm going the Warriors. You can't copy.
I can. I'm going the Warriors as well, all right? We can do that because we got 3 games to choose from. It's fine.
All right. Well, don't tell Salah next
week. Okay, sweet.
And Rugby Union, are we going to go with the Tonga-Japan game?
Yeah, I think we will.
Oh, well, you played in both, like you're Tongan, but you also
played
in Japan. So I'll let you decide. After Nems' comments around Tonga just winning.
I think it's going to be a closer game than
I think 14 and a half might be a fair
start. I think can I take that start? 14 and a half for Tonga, 14 and a half.
You want Tonga 14 and a half?
Yep.
All right, I'll give you Tonga 14.
Yes, thank you, bro. That's very generous of you. I didn't think you were going to give me that much, no, but
I'll give you that.
Yeah, I appreciate that, bro.
Well, that's us done for Nijin Footy Fridays. Tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcast. Ka kite, have a great weekend, and we'll see you all on Monday.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.